Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين عزة على الكافرين وقال تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama, respected حفاظ, elders, brothers, sisters, Whoever is listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah. First of all, just want to thank Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sindhi Sahib, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, for inviting me here today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him and continue to take the work of deen from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this masjid and the people of this masjid. Recently, the results of the census of 2021 were released a couple of months ago. And in these results, we saw that there's a trend which has been happening for the past 20, 30 years. It is the first time ever since the census started that the number of Christians in this country has fallen below 50%. From the census of 2011, there was approximately a 13% decrease, 13% in 10 years. In 2011, the figure was 13% higher. It was about 59%. This time round, 10 years later, 13% decrease in the number of people who ticked the box on the census that they identified themselves as Christian. About 46%. First time ever. Less than 50%. And the number of Muslims increased from around 4.9% to 6%. So when the census results were released a couple of months ago, many of us received messages on our WhatsApp. MashaAllah, we're taking over. Look at the increase. The Christians have gone down. We have Sadiq Khan as the mayor in London. Now we have Hamza Yusuf in Scotland. We're taking over. Delusion within the Muslim community. This delusion within the Muslim community that we pretend to ignore what is in front of us. We pretend to ignore what is the reality in front of us. Even though we see with our own eyes. Not too long ago in America, there was a report, a Pew report that came out, and it mentioned that 23% of Muslims who are born in Muslim families leave the faith. 23%. And in the same Pew report, it mentioned that 23% of people in America who are born outside the Muslim faith, they enter into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you and I. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you and I. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu may yartadda minkum an dinihi fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. Adhillatin 'alal mu'minin, 'izzatin 'alal kafirin. Allah says in the verse that I recited at the beginning that all you who believe, those of you who turn away from the faith, those of you who turn away from the faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth other people who love Allah, and Allah will love them. Allah ko hamari zarurat nahi hai. Allah doesn't need you and I. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if, you know, yesterday there was a report, £162 million was spent on the Queen's funeral. £162 million. £162 million. And then they complain about refugees taking over this country. £162 million on one funeral was spent. And then the true figure of how much was spent 2 weeks before in the coronation will come out later on as well. Someone who is given so much honor at the time of death, yet you and I have been given something which is even more honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never forget this. This iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I is the greatest asset after giving us life. After life, there is no greater asset that you and I have been given besides iman. And I ask you one question. Majority of us here, not all, but majority of us here were born in Muslim families. I ask you one question. How many sajdas did you perform in the womb of your mother so that you can come out into a Muslim family? How many sajdas? How much dua did you make in the womb of your mother that, oh Allah, grant me Islam, grant me Iman, grant me Islam, and you came out into a Muslim family? None of you made sajda. None of you made dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you born into a Muslim family. How much shukr and how grateful should you and I be? Ya Allah. Ya Allah. This iman, what is this iman? Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept iman. To accept iman. So I gave my hand out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the pledge. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand forward, I took my hand away. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne haath barhaya. Maine haath le liya wapas. So, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Amr, you gave your hand for me to put your hand in your hand, in my hand, to give the pledge of Islam and Iman, and now you've taken it away. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala says that before I put my hand in your hand, I want to place some conditions. Before accepting Iman, he's asking for conditions. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are your conditions? He said, I've committed lots of wrong. My condition is that after I accept Islam, I want all the wrong that I've done to be obliterated and wiped out. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Amr, give me your hand. Don't you know anyone who accepts Iman, everything that they did before, everything gets wiped out. Everything gets wiped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much. This iman, there is no greater ni'mah and no greater blessing than this ni'mah of iman. Ni'mah of iman. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Kalimullah, the one who used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he's being sent to Fir'aun, the greatest tyrant that ever lived on this earth, Fir'aun. What does he say to Allah? That Allah, you're sending me to Fir'aun, and I'm not that articulate. Meri zuban mein luknat hai. So send my brother with me, Harun. It's amazing, one note I'll mention, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Khalilullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habibullah. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Kalimullah. And he is the one, they all used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet, when he had to go to Fir'aun, he said, send someone with me, because I can't articulate in front of a human being, but in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sabki zuban sunte. If you ever feel that, oh, how can I speak to Allah? Don't ever worry about how you can speak to Allah. You just speak to Him and He will listen. You just speak to Him and He will listen. Pick up Surah Munafiqun. And you will see in the tafsir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to a small boy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to a small boy. And the first surah of Juz 28, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ سُرَةُ الْمُجَادَلَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to a woman. So many examples in the Quran. Whether you're a small child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen. Whether you are a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen. Whether you've got zuban me luknat and you are not articulate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is Kalimullah. He once says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me a kalima, give me one sentence that I can say that nobody, it's so powerful and so great that, you know, it takes over everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me one, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So Musa alayhi salam, but everyone reads this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is the most powerful, most greatest sentence that anyone can be given. And you and I have been given La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And today we live in a society, when we say that 13% of Christians have gone down, it's not because Muslims are going up. It's because we live in a very godless society. In a society which is very secular, in a society that is sipping away, sapping away the faith from our hearts and our children's hearts. We live in a very difficult time, very, very difficult time, where previously people needed to go out, and we used to tell our children, don't go out, otherwise those people will take your iman. Now you don't need to go out. Now the apps that take away iman are in people's pockets. Everything is there. This is why we say that those who don't need to be on Instagram, delete Instagram. Those who don't need to be on Snapchat, delete Snapchat. Those who don't need to be on Facebook, delete Facebook. Those who don't need to be on Twitter, don't be on Twitter. All of these apps are agencies where shaitan will use to take away your iman. In Ramadan, we cut down on all of these social media apps because we are busy with the Quran, because our hearts are more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why can we not do that outside the month of Ramadan? All these apps are taking away the iman. And then you've got the environment around us. The environment around us. The environment is so dangerous that in London, one of the Muslim school teachers was telling me that, Maulana Sahab, what can I tell you? Here we have girls who are in hijab, who are wearing jilbab, and yet they have a colorful sticker here to support a certain agenda and a certain drive. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Outside, we look like Muslims, but the hearts are being sapped away from iman. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu qoo anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and save your children from the fire of hell. Save yourselves and save your children from the fire of hell. If, na'udhu billah, there was a fire and we came to our house, may Allah protect each and every one of us. If there was a fire and you saw a police cordon, and you drove up to there, and you're thinking, oh, in my area there's a fire. And then when you get nearer and nearer, you see it's your house, and you don't know whether your children or your family is in there. How much would you try and get through that cordon to save them from the fire? That is how much fikr and that is how much concern you and I need to have. We are worried about our money, we are worried about our assets, but the greatest asset that you and I have been given is iman. If we have money in the house, how do we protect it? If we have gold in the house, how do we protect it? We hide the gold so much that recently one sister came and said, Maulana, we need taweez. Bhai, kyun taweez chahiye? Maulana, I put some gold somewhere, I don't know where it is. I put some gold in the house somewhere, maine itna chupaya ke mujhe bhi nahi milta. I don't know where it is. When it comes to gold, that's how safe we keep it. When it comes to money, that's how much we hide it. But when it comes to iman, are we going to let all the forces against iman take away our iman? Or are we going to create protection for our iman? Protection for our iman. It's so important that iman is our greatest asset. And there's many ways in protecting iman. One of the ways is to continuously come to the masjid. Continuously come to the masjid. Masjid is the place of angels. Masjid is a protection. Masjid is the most beloved place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you come to the masjid, the more you are with jama'ah. The jama'ah protects you. The jama'ah protects you. Stay with the jama'ah. That's a protection. Dua. Continuously make dua. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have given me this iman. Oh Allah, protect this iman. And there are two du'as that I'm going to teach you today that you regularly keep on reading these du'as. Number one is the du'a in the Qur'an. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْلَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. In Surah Ali Imran, on the second page. Oh our Lord, do not turn my heart away from iman after you have given us iman. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Do not let our hearts go astray. After you have given us guidance, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, and grant us rahmah, mercy. This dua, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that after every salah, 5 times a day you make this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your iman. 5 times a day. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا. Second page of Ali Imran, you can learn it very quickly. Number two, continuously make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the iman that He has given you. Continuously make shukr. Because what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That a person who makes shukr, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you make shukr, then I will increase you in whatever you are making shukr for. If you are grateful for iman, Allah will increase your iman. And it's amazing, the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single du'a is amazing. But this du'a, after you eat food, what do you read? Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wasaqana وَجَعَلَنَا Muslimin or minal Muslimin. Okay? Now, we are making dua after eating and drinking. We are making dua after eating and drinking. And therefore, it is logic that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us food and who has granted us drink. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food and drink that He has granted us. But then, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added one sentence. What does he say? And we thank you for what? For making us Muslim. The ulama discuss here that we have just eaten and we have just drunk some drink. And wo bhi kitni badi ni'mat hai. You know, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us life in this country. In Ramadan, how many types of food were there on your table? Allahu Akbar. How many different colors of drink were there on the table? Ya Allah. You want a red color drink? You can find a red color drink. You want a pink color drink? You get a pink color drink. And now these youngsters have gone crazy on this, which is Prime. And you get different colors. You get pink color, you get red color, I don't know what other color. All these different colors, it is there. Allah Pak ne hame is mulk ke andar kya nahi diya? What has He not given us? So important to be grateful. We look at those people who are in the earthquake. The rich and the poor are on the streets. The rich and the poor are on the streets after the earthquake. And they are begging for food. One landlord, one tenant, he said in one of the videos, he says that I was evicted from my home 3 days before the earthquake. And then 3 days later, I am on the street and my landlord is next to me on the street. Allah pa kab ni'mat ko cheen sakta hai kisi ko pata nahi. Always be grateful. And every single item, every single piece of food that we have is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bahut shukar karne ki zarurat hai. And especially in this country. In this country. And teach our children to be grateful. Because now, children, they just get their app, Uber Eats. No sense of how much effort has gone in to making that food. And as I mentioned food, I mentioned that, you know, be careful what you eat. This is also going to affect your iman. Be careful what you eat because it affects your iman. If you eat haram, it goes into your bloodstream and then you are automatically taken towards haram actions. And if you eat halal, then automatically your body and your bloodstream will take you towards good deeds. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyur rusul, kulu minat tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. O messengers, eat that which is halal. And then immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'malu saliha. Eat that which is good. Eat that which is good. And then go, do good actions. Do good actions. Eat and good actions have a strong connection. Eat and good actions. Whatever, there's a famous saying in English, you are what you eat. And that book which is written about you are what you eat is talking about obesity. That people are eating so much fat, so much calories, this and that, that we live in an obese nation. And it's costing the NHS millions and millions of pounds. But in Islam, there is also you are what you eat. And it's about your spiritual condition. If you eat halal, genuine halal, then it will take you towards good. And I say to my sisters regularly, that not only should you procure halal, not only should you consume halal, but before you cook, go and do wudu. After performing wudu, when you are cooking, then make sure that you have a set number of tasbih that you are going to read. On the food, that whilst you are cooking, you're going to be there for half an hour, 1 hour. If you set yourself 100 la ilaha illallah, 100 subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, 100 la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, 100 durood sharif, 200, 300 durood sharif, if you subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, if you set yourself a timetable every single day, just imagine the barakah that will be in that food. Just imagine. One sister, she was involved in a car accident. She was a new Muslim. Her name was Hannah McEwen, as far as I remember. 3 years ago, she's married to one of the sheikhs in London. When she was involved in a car accident, she became disabled. And then slowly, it took her months to start getting back to where she was. She was very close to death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her. She wrote a blog. In that blog, she mentions her connection with the Qur'an, that how she started reading the Qur'an again with difficulty. And she says that, oh my brothers and sisters, value the ability that you have to read the Qur'an, because now I am deprived of reading the Qur'an and it is taking me so long to read the Qur'an. And in that blog she says that my mother-in-law, for 1 hour she used to cook, and while she was cooking she would read salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1 hour cooking every day, whenever she would cook, she would say salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So be grateful for the food that we have, for the drink that we have. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَجَعَلَنِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Why has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, and I am grateful of being Muslim with food and drink? The ulama, may Allah reward them for their foresight and insight, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that despite the hunger that I go through, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent many, many days in hunger, sometimes he would send a message to one of the wives, do we have any food at home? And she would say no. He would send a message to the second wife, no. Third wife, no. Fourth wife, no. Every single house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nothing to eat except dates and water. For three days, there was nothing being cooked in the houses of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But despite this, he knew that there will come a time that in the 21st century, my Muslim brothers and sisters will be very, very wealthy. They will have enough food to eat. Not only will they have enough food to eat, but they will eat in the morning, they will have breakfast, then they will have coffee, three or four cups of coffee before lunch, then they will have lunch, then they will have a mid snack, then they will come home for tea, then they will have dinner, and then they will have a midnight snack. They will have seven times they will eat. If there's any time that I want them to be grateful for becoming Muslim, then it should be with this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alani minal muslimin. And I have seen people on my dastarkhan. Once I was sitting with somebody, and whilst they were eating, they were taking some tablets. I asked, what are these tablets? He said, ye khana hazam karne ke liye hai. So khate khate hazam karne hai, with the tablet. Digestive tablets whilst they are eating. And then he forgot them at my house. So I still got them to remind me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being Muslim after every food, so that you and I can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time we eat. Read the dua and you will be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making you a Muslim as well. One dua which I taught you, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Two, have shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr all the time. Three, come to the masjid regularly. Four, stay in the company of pious people. Stay in the company of pious people. This will protect your iman. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stay with those who are sadiqeen. Stay with the pious people. Stay with the pious people. And that second dua which I want to teach you before we finish. The second dua, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in the masjid. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in the masjid. And whilst he is in the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters into the masjid. And with him on his right hand side is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On his left hand side is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ya Allah. Every time, most of the time, you used to find that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, Abu Bakr is there, Umar radiallahu ta'ala is there. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the Mount of Uhud, Abu Bakr is there, Umar is there, Usman Ghali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is there. And the Mount Uhud starts to shake. Mount Uhud starts to shake. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hits his foot on Mount Uhud. And he says, O Uhud, stop shaking. Because on you is a Nabi, is a Siddiq, and two Shaheed. On you is a Nabi, a Siddiq, and two Shaheed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala became Shaheed later on. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala became Shaheed later on. But whenever we see Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala together, and when there's only space for one, then it was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for hijrah, there was only space for one. Who did he take? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was an indication from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when I leave, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will become the first Khalifa and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu will become the second Khalifa. Enters the masjid. Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reciting tahajjud salah. And in this tahajjud salah, it's dark. He is the only one there. Ibn Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the masjid. Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala does not know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come in. And he is reciting. And what is he reciting? He's reciting Suratul Nisa. And whilst he's reciting Suratul Nisa, he reaches 100 verses of Suratul Nisa. After reciting 100 verses of Suratul Nisa, he starts making dua. Whilst he's making dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quietly he mentions, Is'al tu'ta. Is'al tu'ta. Is'al tu'ta. Abu Bakr can hear. Umar can hear. Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala can't hear. What is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? You keep on asking, and Allah will give you. You keep on asking, and Allah will give you. Just one point I'll mention, that Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala was secretly performing tahajjud salah. There are many people today, especially ulama and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who secretly in the middle of the night wake up every night and perform tahajjud salah. They are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guard your tongue against speaking against anyone who, lest they might be very close to Allah, and you by apni zuban ko chalane se aap apni jahannam ko tayyar kar rahe hain. Lest it ever be that you let your tongue loose on somebody who you think, who is he, but they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know who is close to Allah and who is not close to Allah. Apni zuban ki hifazat kijiye. Don't speak about somebody that you don't need to speak about. Why are you spoiling your akhirah? Why are you spoiling your akhirah? Yeah. Unfortunately, there are still some people, but those people who are around, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and many other buzrugs who used to cry for the ummah, there are still some who are around, but we don't even know them. But we are very quick to pass judgment. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was asked that, Maulana Ashraf Ali, who is better? Are you better or is a dog better? Now you and I would say, what kind of question are you asking me? Of course I'm better than a dog. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hakimul Ummah, he said that if you are asking me now, then I can't give you an answer. But if you ask me after I've died on Iman, then I can say that I am better than a dog. Because I don't know whether I am going to die on Iman or not. I don't know whether I'm going to die on Iman. I don't know. So he's making dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Is'al tu'ta. Keep on asking and you will be given. Keep on asking and you will be given. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala leaves. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala leaves. What was this dua that he was asking? Read this dua regularly. Because there's three things in there that all of us need. Three things in there. And Qurban jaye on every companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because every single companion used to ask questions and used to say some words that benefit you and I today. Whether it's Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asking what dua to make on Laylatul Qadr, or whether it's that companion who came from his house one day and he came and he sat outside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the door and he saw this companion and he said, "Oh my companion, what are you doing here?" He said, "Main bechain hu. I am very concerned." He said, "Why are you concerned?" He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, whenever we are with you, then we keep on looking at you and we are satiated and we are satisfied by looking at you. But today when I went home, a thought came to my mind and that is why I came running here, because I don't know the answer." So he said, "What thought came to your mind?" He says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, when either you die or I die, then you will inshallah go to Jannah, and inshallah I will go to Jannah. But a thought came to mind, and that thought was that when you go to Jannah, you will be in the highest place. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wal-maqam al-mahmud. O Prophet of Allah, we make dua that you are in maqam al-mahmud, but we will be much lesser. We will be much less. We will be somewhere in Jannah, and then we will not be able to see you. How am I going to live when I don't see you, O Prophet of Allah? Look at the thought process of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shocked, he even didn't know the answer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke chahite ne bahut badhiya sawal kiya hai. I want to give the answer in the Quran, which will stay until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that question so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, مَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That whoever obeys Allah, whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ. They will be with those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored from the Anbiya, from the Siddiqeen, from the Shuhada, from the Salihin, giving glad tidings to everyone that whoever obeys Allah, whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with the Anbiya on the Day of Judgment. And Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala used to say that when the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when he said those words, when a Bedouin came, and he said that, O Prophet of Allah, I don't have many actions. All I do is perform salah, and all I do is do a few actions here and there, but I perform salah, but I also love Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, a person will be with whom he loves. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that when that saying was said, that a person will be with who he loves, that was one of the happiest days of the companions' lives. Because they knew that they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. So this dua which Hazrat Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala was asking, and before I mention the dua, the next day, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is on his way to Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house to inform him what had happened the previous night. As Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets close, Hazrat Abu Bakr comes out from Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, where did you go? No, Abu Bakr asks Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house to go and inform him of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said last night. He said, I've already told him to Jah. I've already told him. Every time Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to think that he could get there first, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to get there first. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to get there first. He said, I've already told him, I've already given him the glad tidings. What was the dua that he was making? Amazing dua. Everyone should learn this dua. Hazrat Ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu started making dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad. O Allah, grant me that kind of iman that we never turn away from that iman. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad. And grant me that kind of ni'mah. Every single ni'mah that you have given me, it remains forever. It doesn't dissipate. It doesn't go away. Wa na'iman la yanfad. And the final dua, وَمُرَافَقَةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فِي أَعْلَى جَنَّةِ الْخُلْدِ, and the companionship of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest place of Jannah. Ya Allah. The mind boggles of how these companions used to think. The mind boggles of how they used to come up with these kind of duas. اللهم إني أسألك إيمانا لا يرتد وَنَعِيمًا لَا يَنْفَدْ وَمُرَافَقَةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي أَعْلَى جَنَّةِ الْخُلْدِ. Three things. Oh Allah, you can ask in your own language. Oh Allah, ایسا ایمان نصیب فرما کہ کبھی ہم ایمان سے دور نہ ہو. ایمان سے ہم نہ ہٹیں اور ایسی نعمتیں نصیب فرما کہ وہ نعمت ختم نہ ہو، اور حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مرافقت اور حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ ہمیں جنت الفردوس نصیب فرما. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that the greatest ni'mah that we have been given is iman. And if that is the greatest ni'mah, then how much effort should we put into ourselves and into our progeny to protect our iman? To protect our iman. When there are cracks in the walls, we fix the crack. There are cracks appearing in the iman, in our iman, and especially the iman of our children. Are we going to make that effort to fix those cracks? Are we going to make that effort to protect our iman and the iman of our progeny? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand that iman is our greatest asset. Iman is our greatest asset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on iman. Keep our children steadfast on iman. Keep our progeny steadfast on iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let there not be anyone in our progeny until the day of judgment that they turn away from iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all death on iman. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.